Everybody's name. I do. Now, everybody knows me, knows I'm in sales.
All right, time out for 2 seconds. We are finally recording.
We're recording.
Oh, congratulations. We are recording. I'm fixing it.
All right, so real quick, we're here with Dr. Brandon Sick. He's from Rock Hill. We've been doing a Facebook Live. It's already been going. So we've kind of warmed up already, and we're kind of jumping into talking about doctors and the medicine field and stuff like that. But he couldn't tell me my name, and I looked at him, and I was like, you will never get another penny from me. My life is in your hands. You know, I might be pooping 35 times a day, and I want to know why, and I've been here this much and spent this much money, and you can't even tell me my name. Now, yes, I'm in sales, what I was, you know, alluding to earlier. I can't remember everybody's name.
Right.
But before I walk into an appointment, you know what I do? I look over my notes.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, I got to remember their names. I got to know they told me this. They told me that. And it's just, in my opinion, that's a professional courtesy. So to hear you're doing something completely different has it, me and, I don't know, Leslie, are you intrigued with
it? I'm very intrigued by it.
You know.
Yeah, that's probably a whole different podcast to tell you about that, but it's honestly probably not that doctor's fault, because we used to be able to do the exact same thing when we had a paper chart, and you'd flip that chart open and you'd have a sticky note if there was something special that you needed to know about that patient or to remember. And your last note was boom, right there. So you could see, oh, I saw Dugan 2 weeks ago and this is what we covered and did. And so I instantly knew in that 5-second glance everything before I could walk in that room. Nowadays, because of the computers and because, sadly, the insurance company that demand the computers, it's much more difficult. All that information is spread out all over. You have to hunt and peck through 7 different screens, which means you don't have time to gather it all. And so you're often walking in, hey, how can I help serve you at the moment? It's much harder to get that continuity. It's part of what drove me to become a direct primary care doctor.
Now, are there any other direct primary care doctors in the area that you know of?
There are. There's one other, Dr. Amanda Pennington. She's doing the exact same type of medicine I am. She's right here in town, and she just got a new partner. I'm blanking on her new partner's name. And then there's one up in Fort Mill also.
Okay. Are they all having as much success as you are?
Dr. Mendelson is the new one up in Fort Mill. So the newer doctors, it takes a little while to explain to people, this is a different way of seeing your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Where as soon as you tell people you don't accept insurance, a lot of them freak out and they don't want to hear anything else. Yes.
Yeah, when Greg first told me about you, we were at church, because Greg and I go to church together. Okay. And he's like, man, I've got this doctor I go to. It's kind of crazy the way he does things, but it's actually better. And as soon as he said he doesn't take insurance, I immediately tuned out to everything else he said.
Yep.
And now I wish I would have paid attention and got on your waiting list, because you got a waiting list, right?
Yes, sir. And the reason for that is once you start doing the math and you realize that, oh, well, if I've got this deductible, if I've got a $3,000 deductible, I'm going to pay a couple hundred dollars for every doctor visit. If I have any blood work, that's going to be a significant other charge. And all those costs add up very quickly to what it cost for an entire year membership in the practice. So when I tell you that, yes, you can go to urgent care of choice or your doctor's office and get a strep test, and it'll be $40 or $50, or you can get it in my office for $2, there's a difference.
That's a big difference.
So I think we got a good, we got 16 people watching. A lot of people, some people have said, hey, what's going on? Catherine's watching, Candy, Carrie, Julie, Kevin. So we do have a pretty good crowd. So let's just dive right into the hot topic.
Sure.
The hot topic right now is, and tell me if I pronounce this wrong, but COVID.
Yes.
Is it COVID?
COVID.
COVID-19.
Yes.
AKA the coronavirus.
So the COVID, as soon as I explain it, you'll be like, oh, that's where the name comes from. First two letters, corona, virus, disease. Started in 2019, there's your 19. COVID-19, coronavirus disease, 2019.
So it's the first people, you say it started in 2019. The first diagnosis was in 2019.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question about this. And this is going to sound stupid, but it's a legit question, and you probably know what I'm getting ready to ask because it's driving you crazy.
I have no idea what you're about to ask.
Why is everybody buying all the toilet paper?
Oh, yeah. I can't wrap my brain as to what the significance is of so much toilet paper.
Toilet paper and bottled water now seem to be a rare commodity that you can find in order to purchase. My best guess on that is that people are starting to think that it's going to be scary or risky to go into public places as this virus spreads. And so what are my essentials that I have to have? I don't want to have to go out to get toilet paper, so they're stockpiling it. The coronavirus does not cause diarrhea. That is not the reason. I was thinking it did.
I'm thinking you got the poo-poos for days if you got the coronavirus.
No. And so I'm guessing it's only for those things. They're thinking that it's just like, oh, if I don't want to have to go out, that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to get things that I would need, so I'm not going to the grocery store for that, where I would be around other people and, you know, potentially exposed to that virus.
Okay. So people are stockpiling to keep from interacting with other people.
Yes.
In my personal opinion, I wouldn't think toilet paper. I would think, you know, Lysol, disinfectants, things like that. But I would also be thinking along the line of mask.
Food.
Food. Well, food is starting to do it as well.
But slower.
And
thank goodness, because for the most part, if we act with common sense, we're going to get through this virus and we're going to be okay. But right now there's a huge amount of fear, and a lot of that's because we don't know who has this. We don't know how big of a problem it is because we've had such a delay in getting good testing.
So we're going to dive into that in a minute. You were talking to me earlier about that. But what I was going to say was, I would think gloves. You know?
Yes.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Latex gloves.
Yeah, latex gloves. You called me earlier today. I was changing the oil on the side-by-side. I had to go to Advance, and I bought a pack of gloves, you know, rubber gloves. I mean, and I was thinking, well, they might be out. No, they had them everywhere. And I'm like, I wouldn't buy toilet paper if I'm worried about a virus ending the world. I would buy latex gloves and mask.
You can't find masks right now, or they are hard to come by, especially the better protective masks. But you don't need the higher quality mask for most, and we can discuss that in a second. But for my practice, I've tried to purchase some extra masks, and only a few types that are even available, and they limit the quantity of what I can purchase.
Wow.
Because our office, we made a donation to the men's shelter. These are people that are, you know, for the homeless population, mm-hmm. the men that spend the night. And I know somebody affiliated with that, and he asked me the question, what do we need to do? And I explained to them, you know, for your personnel and or if someone's acting with some of the symptoms, get a mask on them if you can, get some gloves on them and your workers, and that should be a good start to a level of protection, much better than what you got. And so I said, let me see if I can. He's like, where do I get masks? I was like, let me see if I can get it. And I had to actually wait several days because you have to have enough of a time period before you can even order this small quantity of masks so that we could get some for them.
Wow. So the stuff that you really need, like mask,
yes,
stuff like that, that's out also.
Hand sanitizers and masks are a real shortage right now.
So I made a TikTok the other day. Do you know what TikTok is?
No.
It's a
social app.
It's a social media app.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
You told me you don't do a lot on Facebook, so I kind of knew you didn't know what TikTok was. But I did a TikTok the other day, and it's a joke. And I was talking about us out here in the country. We're not worried about the coronavirus and running out of hand sanitizer because we just spray our hands with starter fluid or brake cleaner. That kills all the germs, all the bacteria. It finds all the cuts on your hand and stuff like that. So there are other things. You can make hand sanitizer and stuff like that as well, right?
You can make your own hand sanitizer, but you have to be careful to get it right, but you absolutely can. With some of the harder things, one example would be people that use their cleansing wipes, things that you'd wipe down a surface with, and using that on your hands. It's actually not a smart idea. Yes, it will kill the germs, but it's also going to start to hurt your skin. Your skin is the best barrier you have against germs. So you don't want to do anything to break down your skin's own natural
defense. Like the Lysol wipes.
Yes.
You
Lysol
attention?
Wipes, Clorox wipes, don't put those on your hands as a replacement for hand sanitizer. Use one of those.
I just clean with them. I don't clean my hands with them. I wipe down counters and floors.
You should just about
like
take a bath with a Lysol wipe.
I like to be clean.
She's a germaphobe.
Now, wiping down the countertops, the commonly used surfaces, the door handles, the countertops, that actually makes good sense. But don't use them as a replacement for a hand sanitizer. Get some of the little hand sanitizer.
All right, so we've talked about that. You got any questions for him before we dive off into the really deep stuff? Because
I'm ready to dive into the deep stuff.
Okay. All right. COVID-19, coronavirus.
Yes.
You made a mention a minute ago that the first, I guess, confirmed case was 2019.
Yes.
Where was it at? Was it in China?
That was in Wuhan province of China. Yes.
Wuhan, China. And we were speaking earlier. You were telling me that just, I think, overnight, the confirmed cases, was it overnight or 24 hours?
In the United States, in the past 24 hours, they went from, I think it was 146 cases yesterday to 2,200 cases as of today.
So,
and that's confirmed cases.
Now, let me make sure I get this clear. I understand it, and I realize I'm dumber than a lot of our listeners. It is possible that these people could have already been carrying the virus and just didn't know it, and these were people that were actually, they were waiting to get tested. Or was it just the fact that it spread that quick?
No. This virus is spreading quickly, but we don't know how quickly it's spreading because we're just now getting to the testing. So you're going to see the numbers go up probably exponentially as the testing does, and then we're going to start to see it. If we take the right precautions, you'll start to see that level off a little bit. But right now, you're going to see big, scary numbers, I expect, over the next several days because this virus has been here. We simply haven't been able to test for it.
So you foresee this taking off just like the flu did, what, how many years ago?
So this is,
I think, the regular flu?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that takes off every year.
Every winter, and he's absolutely right. We've had, I think, they're expecting 20 million people in the United States will have had the flu by the end of the flu season this year. So it's every winter the flu becomes a real contagious thing. I expect this is acting. It's a virus, so it has some similarities to the flu, and it even has some similar symptoms. How it works is just a little bit different. But do I expect there to be a big increase in the number of cases? Oh yeah. Yeah, we're at the beginning of this.
So what differentiates the two viruses as to why this has blown up so much, but yet the flu did not?
The flu did. The flu, there's a lot more people that have the flu than, again, we only have 2,200 cases so far of the coronavirus that we know of. The big difference is the reason this has got everyone's attention is because this one's more deadly and we don't have any treatment.
So that was going to be my next question. Compared to the flu...
Yes.
This thing is actually worse.
It's about 10 times more deadly than the flu.
And we're not talking just the elderly. We're talking normal, everyday people with completely healthy immune systems.
Well, it's similar that you're going to have some of both. Most of the people that we find that are getting severely sick and being hospitalized, they have something compromised about their immune system. They had diabetes, they were older, they already had bad lungs with bad asthma. There was something that already put them at risk to get a more significant disease, but that's kind of similar to the way it is with the flu. The biggest difference that we see is, as far as we can tell, again, data's been really limited. It's been very frustrating for us physicians as we try to find out more so we can educate our patients, is can we get good information? But what I've heard is that it doesn't seem to hit kids very hard.
So kids actually are somewhat not, you know.
They have seen, the coronavirus itself is the big grouping of coronaviruses I've known for my entire medical career because they cause the common cold. They're one of the viruses that will cause a common cold.
So the coronavirus has been around for a long time.
Yes, this is a new strain of that one, and that's what's making this one different, is we don't know exactly where it came from. There's been questions on, did it come from an animal and then transmit over to be in a human that's transmitting from human to human? We don't know exactly where it came from. We do know that because kids have seen enough viruses, they seem to not have, you know, they get a bad cold for a week or two and then they're back to normal. You don't see many kids hospitalized, and thankfully you see very few of them dying because of the coronavirus.
So as a medical professional who is in the process of trying to get educated to be able to educate your patients and things like that, what are your thoughts or your outlook on the hysteria and how it's people have reacted with the news media that's coming out? Toilet paper obviously is getting bought out everywhere, but with the way people are reacting, shutting down international travel, NBA suspending their season, all these sorts of things that are happening nationally, what are your thoughts on that? Are we overreacting? Are they canceling and doing stuff government national wise too soon? I just want a professional opinion, yes, as to if they think that this is what we should be doing.
Are we getting ready to be on an episode of The Walking Dead? like, do I need to practice my sharpening my sword and everything?
I mean, they're closing down schools and they're doing this and they're doing that, and I'm just trying to wrap my brain around, is it all really necessary? How dangerous or concerning is this going to get?
Okay, let me give you a little bit of perspective. As soon as you remember the first thing that I told you about that, well, one of the early things is that we don't have a treatment, okay? And it's 10 times more deadly than the flu. Our only good prevention or treatment for this one is prevention. The only thing that we can do is not let this virus spread. So I love...
Say that again.
The only thing that we can do is prevent this virus, and the only way you prevent it is by the social distancing. Stay away from the group settings.
And staying away from group settings and not handshaking and stuff like that, that's hard.
Yes.
That's hard.
Yes.
Like when you came in today, you're a doctor, I'm a sales rep. First thing we went to do was shake hands.
Yes.
And we both kind of stopped and it was like fist bump instead.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's habit.
Yes.
You know, for 42 years, I was told you shake people's hand and you look them in the eye.
Yes.
And now I'm having to force myself not to shake hands.
Yes. All right.
Fist bump, air high five, elbow bump, whatever. So my question is, I realize it's good to separate, you know, people from each other because you don't know who's infected. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reading where people could be carrying this for a couple weeks before the true signs come out. Is that right?
Incubation period for this is 2 to 14 days, averaging around 4 or 5 days. So you're going to have it for a few days before you start to show symptoms on average.
So what since there's no cure,
right?
And let's say you were my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I got diagnosed with a coronavirus.
Yes.
What would you tell me to do?
So the good news is for most people, you don't have to overreact to this one. You would be staying home. You're going to quarantine yourself off from the rest of the family. You're going to drink tons of fluids, get some extra rest, Tylenol for the headache, and you're going to kind of let this run its course.
And it feels like the cold, like the flu?
It's going to feel kind of like the flu. You'll often have some fever. Cough and shortness of breath are two of the three bigger ones. And hold on, I wrote this down. So almost 88% of people will get fever. About 70% will get the dry cough. 40% will get fatigue. So those all feel kind of like, oh, that sounds kind of like the flu. There's not a lot of runny nose with this one. This one tends to hit the lungs more than it does the nose and throat. So you're not going to have a big runny nose often with this one. Occasionally some shortness of breath would be about 20% and sore throat or headache about 13%.
So if this thing's been out since 2019, yep. Approximately when in 2019, do you know?
I think it was December. This has all happened fairly quickly.
So let's just say it come out in December.
November,
we're almost
November, December.
3 months in.
Four months into it. How long do you think it will take before we get a cure?
We won't have a cure. I hope we have some treatments. There's some very investigational stuff that's being happening in South Korea. They're using some medicines that we already use for other processes, and they're having some results with that one. So I'm intrigued that this may not be a forever that we have no treatment. How long does it spread and go on here before that one? Depends on how well we handle what we're doing right now with some of the social distancing.
So back to my question, do you feel like it's overreacting, the hysteria, the closings, the shutting down?
I think we're probably 2 weeks too late. I think that
is that the answer you was looking for or expecting?
No, not at all.
Yeah. because so play devil's advocate with me for just a moment. I've just told you, kids will not have a hard time with this virus. Why are we closing down schools? Because kids will carry that virus and take it home and share it with their parents, who will share it with their parents, who will have problems with this virus. And if we don't take some drastic actions fairly soon and take a break from all the social stuff, we're going to overwhelm our hospitals, and we're going to have the preventable deaths, deaths that could be prevented because if they were treated, you're going to overwhelm the hospital system.
But it's not treatable.
No, you would
as
treat
of right now.
So what happens is that with bad cases of the coronavirus, if you're going to get the worst version of it, you're going to have lung problems. You're going to get a pneumonia, or you're going to get fibrosis down in your lungs. And so we can give those support measures. And a lot of times you will work through that. So I have to support your blood pressure. You're going to be getting IV fluids. If the pneumonia gets bad enough, you're going to be on a ventilator. But we can do that and help work. We can help save you through that in many, not all cases, because I've told you, we do the same thing for a bad, bad flu, and this is still 10 times more lethal than the flu. So we can help support those, but we have to be able to have the ability to do so. And if we keep spreading this one, we will overwhelm.
So what are your predictions?
I can't, because a lot of this one really depends on the government on this one and how they handle it. They've really started to step up just a couple of Friday that they made a national emergency declaration. And a lot of the professional organizations for sports have already shut down. And they've realized this can't happen right now, which is absolutely appropriate. Only because we don't have the symptoms look like bad colds or the flu, so the symptoms are similar. You can't tell just by symptoms. We have had very little testing, so we don't know how widespread this already is. But if we don't take some of these measures, some of the vulnerable people in our population are going to be hurt very badly by this one. And so taking a real step back, I'll give you the statistic that I had heard. If we took a two-week break from school for everybody, we would shut down the spread of this virus by over 40%.
Wow.
What about work?
It depends on your type of work. I was hoping, and I'm still hoping, that we get to the point where everybody that can possibly work from home works from home. Forever? No, for a while. And how long's a while? We don't know how big this virus is yet. We're just starting to get through the testing, and President Trump talked about the drive-through testing, but I don't know where that is, and I'm a physician. And I don't know how soon that's coming.
And it's right now it's hard to get tested, right?
It's very hard. I still, again.
So there's a good chance. There's people over, and y'all don't take this the wrong way, but there's a chance. There's somebody at Piedmont right now sick that could have the coronavirus, and we just don't know it because they can't be tested.
The hospitals have a limited ability to do some testing, and so they have been testing because I've had patients that thought they might be exposed to that are hospital workers. And so the hospitals have access to testing. It's us physicians outside of the hospital. We're still treating the majority of the patients. And, you know, everybody that comes in with a fever, they want to know, do I have the coronavirus? And I can't tell them right now. I can only compare with how their symptoms present compared to what I know.
At that point, you would just say, you have the symptoms of the coronavirus. I can't confirm that you have it, but your symptoms match it. Would you say that to one of your clients?
It would be possible that you could have. The good news is, for many people, it doesn't matter if they take the appropriate precautions. If you go home, you stay away from other people, and no one drinks after you, you kind of stay off it, you know, from the rest of the family, you're going to get through this. It's going to be a bad dry cough for a couple weeks, and you're going to be okay. But it's the fact that, will you stay home and not, oh, geez, I'm kind of better, so I got to go back to work, and
right,
then you're exposing all the people around you. That's where the testing becomes really helpful, so that you know, no, you really have to stay quarantined for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And that's the average they're telling people, if you get sick, to stay quarantined for 2 weeks.
By that time, your contagiousness is really much less. If you've had a significant exposure, if you had it and we were this close to each other, we know that by 2 weeks, if I'm going to catch it, I will have started to show symptoms.
I gotcha.
We've got a couple questions. I'm going to go back. Let's see. Give me one second.
That one's already been answered.
Greg asked, how much will the virus's incubation period into case reporting confirmation? How much will it play into case reporting and confirmation? Did you answer that already?
Talked about the incubation period.
We did.
But how will it...
How much will it play into case reporting and confirmation? I guess, is it possible? I think what he's asking is it possible for someone to actually have it, live through it, come out just fine, and then it never be reported? I think is what he's asking. Is that possible?
Oh, absolutely.
How many people do you think will actually have that? Can you answer that?
No, there's no way. Because again, most of us are going to do okay. It's going to be a bad chest cold is what it's going to seem like to a lot of people. But because it presents with a fever, most
Greg,
of
I've been seeing you cough for a while, buddy. You need to go see Dr. Sick.
It's for a lot of people, they don't need to go. That's why we're telling them, if you think you might have it, call. We can talk to you about this one, but don't necessarily come in. Because if you come in and then you cough in the waiting room,
yeah.
And then patients for the next few hours, I got this information just this morning. We know that it sits in the air for about 3 hours that it can be. It can sit on a countertop for, hold on, I wrote this down.
Get your cheat sheets.
Yep. For at least 24 hours or even up to 2 to 3 days on plastic or stainless steel, which is where they did some of the testing with. So this hangs around for a little while, which is why now I'm going back to supporting your wife who wants to wipe down everything in your house. Because if you're wiping it down, you're taking a chance on at least reducing or killing the virus. So now you have less chance for exposure.
So even if you don't kill it, you can reduce it and it won't hang around as long,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Catherine says something about symptomatic treatment. She didn't ask a question.
Oh, so what would you do? So if you have the bad cough, you can still go back to sometimes inhalers will help some. Sometimes just Delsym is just a great over-the-counter cough medicine for a dry cough. It's one of the best things that we have to help with that. You'd run a humidifier. So those are the things that, yes, and possibly a cough syrup for nighttime at least to shut it down so you can get some sleep. So we can still help treat the symptoms. And that's why if someone called in and said, oh, hey, you may have, again, don't freak out. You're likely to be okay. If you start getting the shortness of breath, that's when you need to consider going to the emergency room or you can get a little pulse oximeter. You can check to see what your oxygen level is. That starts to go down. You're the one that absolutely needs to go to the hospital. Not everybody with I've had a cough for an hour and I think I need to go get checked just to find out if I have it. If you don't have fever, the chances are you probably don't have the coronavirus. Approximately 90% of people are going to have a fever over 100.5.
See, that's where my concern comes in because people have been so hysterical about going to the grocery store and stocking up on stuff for quarantine. But the worst part of the hysteria hadn't even happened yet because that's what's going to happen. When everybody starts getting sick with cold symptoms and coughing and stuff like that, they're all going to bombard the doctor's offices and the emergency rooms. And like you're saying, it's not really necessary for them to do that until they have shortness of breath and respiratory issues because that's when it becomes the most severe. Is that correct?
Yes.
So
let me tell you right now, if I'm out in public and somebody sneezes, somebody coughs, I look at them.
Yes.
I'm joking, but I'm like, you sick? You feel bad? And they're like, no, it's just allergies. Well, at this point, how do you know?
Yes.
Oh. How do you know if it's just allergies?
You don't
know. Because I get real bad seasonal allergies. Mm-hmm. I mean, real bad. The other day, I did a little grass cutting because I had a little patch of grass that was dried out that I could actually cut. And the next day, I sneezed about 25 times.
Yep.
And I'm freaking out because I'm like, if I'm going to be in public and I do this, people are going to be like, oh, my God,
he's sick.
Get away from him.
Yes.
Quarantine him.
My wife was in a spin class just a couple of days ago, and about halfway through the class, she got a little coughing fit, and she says most of the class turned around and started looking at her.
Right.
I was like, it's the fever with the cough. That again.
So the most crucial thing is fever.
Yes.
And
the shortness of breath.
And the shortness
of breath. If you start to get short of breath, that's a bigger deal. And that's when you're saying, okay, now I have to get some more. I have to find out, do I need to be seen? Do I need to go to the ER? And not, oh, I've cough, and that made me short of breath for a few seconds. No, 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 this persistent, boy, I'm coughing and my chest is tight and I'm really having trouble catching, a deep breath. That's when you got to start saying, okay, I might need to be tested. And that's a perfect person to be tested.
So what's the game plan in this area as far as, you know, CMC or PMC being our hospital here in Rock Hill? Is the medical world going to facilitate those who jump the gun when they start sneezing and coughing and rush into the emergency room or go straight to their primary care doctor?
Yeah, the short answer is that's a really hard question because different offices have different protocols set up to try and help, still help the people, but not expose all the other people. And so that becomes a real challenging question. One of the lovely parts of the way I do things with direct primary care is we can have that conversation with the patient. I can answer the questions, and 3 minutes later, they haven't had to come into the office. They've been reassured. They know that if the symptoms worsen, they can call back and we can talk through it of what's going on.
And that happens at the point when they call in and say, hey, I need to schedule a sick visit with Dr. Sick. This is what I'm experiencing. And then everything's facilitated over the phone. Call me back if stuff gets worse.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Because right now, because if I'm exposed to this virus, and again, because it looks and acts a lot of ways like other viruses, other than the fever. The fever, thankfully, is one of those differentiators. But we still got a lot of flu out there.
Mm-hmm.
I still diagnosed flu this past week.
And high fever is a symptom of the flu as well.
102 is what you're expecting on day one of the flu for many cases. So it is still difficult. But then trying to figure out of how can I help support this person, tell them what they need to do, tell them what to watch for, but not have them come in unless it's mandatory, because then they can be exposing my patient that comes in an hour later.
Greg had another, this is a great question, Greg, because I heard this earlier. One of the things being said about the virus is that it will not dwell in warm or hot weather. Will the upcoming warmer weather help to stave off or eradicate this strain of virus?
The short answer is I don't know. The reason the flu virus tends to only be with us during the colder months is not because the temperature kills the virus, but because people are no longer indoors huddled together sharing germs, allowing the virus to pass and contaminate other people. So the beautiful part is we are coming to a nice time of the year in South Carolina where it is going to be warmer weather. We're going to be outside more. And that's why you see that we're trying to stop any of those group settings where it's going to be a chance to exchange germs unknowingly by being huddled together.
So I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there.
Sure.
I think the warmer weather is going to help kill it off. So I think everybody should move to Florida and buy up all their toilet paper and all their Lysol and leave ours the heck alone. Move further south. That was a great question, Greg. Brad says, sick. I miss him. So apparently you have done some work for Brad before.
Okay. Hi, Brad.
Michelle Heidenreich's got a great question. Once you get it, can you get it again?
No.
So your body, once it's one of those where once your body learns to fight it off, it runs its course. I guess it's developed the
you will not be able to get that strain again because you've made antibodies, and those antibodies have memory, so they will always be there on alert. Now, can the virus change? Yes, that's what happens with the flu virus, and that's why you can get the flu virus year after year, because it changes enough. It mutates from year to year.
What about for people with weakened immune systems? Let's say somebody with leukemia or lymphoma.
So can they still get it and get it again? Depends on if they're or how their leukemia is being treated in the lymphoma, because they're going to be either on medicine or at least their immune system's compromised, so they're not going to have that same response. So it would be, they would certainly be at more risk for it.
So I very recently got diagnosed with T-cell lymphoma.
Okay.
I have yet to be told by Levine's exactly what type of T-cell lymphoma I have.
Mm-hmm.
So they have not started any kind of treatment. And then this comes about, and you hear everybody talking about, well, I'm being treated for cancer, I'm being treated for this, and I have a weakened immune system. That started creeping into my head, and she asked a great question. So and then when you said, because your body, will typically, you know, it'll learn to fight it off and then it's done. Well, what if, because I have lymphoma, which is T-cell lymphoma, which I'm being told is cancer in my white blood cells.
Yes.
Does that mean my white blood cells, if I was to get it, I would, I mean, not to be blunt, but I'd be at a greater risk of dying from it.
Yes.
And would it come back? And my body, would my body allow it to come back, or would, because my white blood cells are weakened?
Well, it's not weakened. Leukemia, well, with the lymphoma, it's your lymph nodes are not able to function at a normal level. And so you can't make the same response as somebody else. So it depends on how heavy of a burden it is, because there are some versions of chronic leukemia that people live for years, and they're just monitored. They're not necessarily treated because it's not so aggressive. It's kind of a chronic low-level stuff. It's above average numbers, but it's not to the point where they need to intervene.
Okay. Let's see. Your wife said, can you talk about the testing capabilities in South Carolina?
Okay. Yeah, this has been my beef for the past week, because I've so desperately wanted to try and find a way to be able to help people know, are they, when they have the symptoms, how, you know, is it COVID or is it just the flu or is it a cold? And it's been so frustrating because there's been so little ability to get tested. I've stayed on hold early this past week. The state insurance plan for all the state workers, they got an email telling them that MUSC was going to be doing free, you start online, but it could be doing free testing for the state employees or anybody without insurance. Just go to this MUSC thing. But I went on there just to check it out to see if this going to be an option for my patients, because I, as a physician in my office, and it's not because I don't take insurance, because I have LabCorp is my lab. They're one of the biggest national labs. They didn't have the test yet. And so I was like, oh, MUSC, this is going to be a great option. The CDC is finally doing this one. No, the server was so jammed up that I couldn't ever get through to even start the process to see how it was going to work. Spoke with another physician that stayed on hold with them for over 2 hours and was unable to get through. So that free testing isn't happening. Now on Friday, with President Trump's changes, I'm hoping that this is going to be an option, because that's what we need. We need for people to have a way to know if you have some enough of the symptoms. Not everyone with a cough needs to automatically go for COVID testing, but if you have some of these symptoms, boy, it'd be nice to be able, if you have the fever and a cough, it'd be nice to be able to tell them that, yes, you have COVID, you have to be quarantined, we're going to stop the spread of this virus.
Right.
That'd be fantastic, but it is so limited with our ability that, again, he talked about that Walmart's going to give up a share of their parking lots and we're going to be able to have some drive-through testing. I have no idea if or when Rock Hill's going to get that.
Yeah.
By late this week, LabCorp was able to have a test, but I don't know what the price of that test is yet. And price does matter, because, again, for most people, this is to help stop the spread.
Right.
Because most of us are not going to die from COVID.
Right.
Most of us, if we get it, it's going to be a bad cough for a couple of weeks, but you don't want to be then spreading it
to somebody who could potentially die from it. For example, I wouldn't want Sidney Ray bringing it home from school and passing it on to me.
And again, kids don't get sick with it, but kids are a great carrier of germs. And they'd have the mild version, but then they're going to spread it to the more vulnerable population. And so that's why, yes, in my personal, again, they haven't asked my opinion on it yet. I can't wait for enough testing gets out there so they close the schools for a couple of weeks. Because that's going to be such a reduction of the transmission. And if you slow it down, we're not going to overwhelm the hospital system. So then we can take care of the sick and let this whole thing just pass.
Brian Morris.
Well, and that's where the government needs to step in when they, you know, like you said, Walmart said they donate parking lots to set up mobile testings and things like that. Government needs to step in and pay for that so that there's not an out-of-pocket cost for those who want to go through and get tested.
Yes, this is a national health emergency, and this is absolutely, you know, again, I don't make health policy, but to me, that is absolutely, you don't want economics to be a barrier.
Mm-mm.
Brian Morey asked a question, and I think you kind of already answered it. How long can you have it and not know it? And you answered that, I believe, earlier when you said anywhere between 2 to 14 days.
That's exactly. The incubation period.
The incubation period. We don't think you're very contagious during that one because most of this virus is going to be spread by I cough or sneeze and those little droplets either go on to your hand and then you touch your mouth or scratch your nose and mm-hmm. boom, then you're infected.
Pick your
with
nose.
It. Yes. Hey, whatever.
I pick my nose a lot.
Oh, gross.
Especially in public. Julie. Hey, Julie. Julie asked a question. Julie Sessoms. So my mother-in-law, who just finished chemo and had a mastectomy, needs to stay home. I'm not even a doctor, and I'm going to say yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Quarantine her from everybody.
Being out in public would be not in her best interest right now because we don't know who has this yet. In a couple of weeks, this is going to be probably a different animal as the testing gets out there and as we keep shutting things down, at least that's my hope, then we start to get this, oh, we're getting a handle on this. We're still at the early phase of this, though.
All right. Let's see. Brian says it's hard to hear, Dr. Sick. Well, that's just the cell phone. Sorry.
I'm not speaking up?
No, well, it's not you. It's the cell phone. Let's see. Rob chimed in. My personal doctor and one of my favorite people, Dr. Sick, is awesome. Brian says South Carolina will be last on the list, I guess, for getting testing and Walmart space parking. Julie wants to know, can Dr. Sick tell her that? Julie, you need to have
her. She apparently doesn't want to stay at home.
Yeah, you need to have her watch this. What's her name? And Dr. Sick, you can say her name and say, you need to stay home.
I highly recommend you stay at home.
Yeah, and we're not doctors, and we still recommend it.
Yeah, this is not a joking matter with this virus. It's not overly hyped because it's so much more deadly, and we have no good treatment. So please, if you have an immune system that's compromised, if you have bad lungs, stay home. We don't know who has this. We don't know how to protect you yet. So you can protect yourself.
Julie said her mom's name is Wanda Sturgis Sessom. So if you can address Ms. Sessoms.
Wanda,
you need to stay home. We need to keep you alive for a good long time, and you don't need to risk with this virus that's out there.
Yeah. At this point, we've answered all the questions. I'm going to open it up to some questions from you and I. And I did talk to Dr. Sick before all this started and kind of warned him that you might get a little political on this.
I'm not going to get political.
Well, don't be afraid to ask your questions.
I mean, they're not really questions that he as a medical professional can answer. I mean, I realize the severity of the virus and the severity that the nation is under, but it's going to cause a lot of problems in the long run.
So I'll ask.
Let me address two myths that I've heard of, and one is actually blowing up people's email boxes, and so they are going to be hyping that they've got the cure, just send them the money and they will send you the treatment for the coronavirus.
So there's scammers out there already.
There's already scammers out there. There is no good treatment for the coronavirus. Again, South Korea is working with a couple of options. They're actually taking both an HIV medicine and a medicine that was used to treat malaria are two options that they're working with and having some fairly good, but it's very early. It's not been through bigger trials or anything like that, but they're having some success. So that's what I'm seeing this week. But as of this moment, we don't know of any good treatments, and there's certainly going to be nothing online that's going to be able to protect you from this virus.
But unfortunately, people are going to feed into that.
Yes.
We're not trying to feed fear by no means. We're just trying to simply educate everybody.
Yes.
Because I hate fake news. I hate it.
Yes.
And people share so much crap on social media that's just fake. And you don't know what to believe nowadays. That's why when you agreed to do this, I was like, heck yeah, a real I'm not sick. I don't have a fever. Sorry, I got a cough.
You choked on spit.
Anyways, I lost my train of thought.
Fake news,
yeah. To be able to sit here and have this conversation with you and know that you're a real doctor, I'm going to take what you had to say, and I'm going to take it to heart, and I'm going to listen. Will I sit here and say that my opinion on it has changed? Most definitely.
Because I know mine has.
Before this, Leslie and I had a conversation today, and we believed that it was something that was put out there because it was the election year, and people were trying to get rid of Donald Trump, the president. Now, we're not saying we're for or against Donald Trump, but is that possible? Do you think this virus was planted, or is it something that just developed on its own? Was this, what's the word I'm looking for? A
conspiracy.
A conspiracy, not really a conspiracy, but I can't think of the word. What's it called?
Well, I've heard that, and I've heard, is this a bioweapon?
That's what
bioterrorism or a bioweapon. No. I see no indication of that. We've had a couple other, actually, versions of coronaviruses that have mutated in the past to cause SARS and MERS. There's a Mediterranean version of this one, and there was SARS, which is sudden acute respiratory syndrome.
Yeah, I read up about that on an article I read about the coronavirus in Italy.
Yes. And so there were smaller versions of similar types of coronaviruses in the past. This is the first one that's gone so widespread. I've seen nothing to indicate, because, you know, people were asking, oh, China developed this because they want to, you know, kill half of Americans. Well, most Americans aren't going to die from this, and so it wouldn't make sense that it's a good weapon. And it's really hurting the Chinese economy and the Chinese people right now.
And everything overseas.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Now the hot spots as of yesterday, France and Spain, are getting really beat up. We've now just increase the travel ban. You can't be from England, I believe, or Scotland and come over to the United States. And I think that's smart. I think travel right now.
I thought they banned all international travel.
I don't know about that, because again, I'm having a hard time. So much is changing with it. I heard about those being added to, because I know they were stopping travel from Western Europe.
Okay.
So I don't know that if all worldwide travel
I did has been read banned. That he was trying to pass to stop international travel. The first attempt got shot down, but they did accept it the second go-round. So as far as I understand, the Trump administration has shut down all international travel.
Sure. And even just a week ago, I think the president was saying something very similar to you. Hey, it's being overblown. This seems to be kind of a big deal. We're okay. No, we're not okay. And we can avoid a lot of deaths if we be smart with this one. But we have to react differently. We have to go back to thinking about diseases the way we did before we had antibiotics. Because we're like that right now. We have a big-time virus that's easily spread, and we have no treatment. And so if we spread out and stay away from the close groups, we have a much better chance of this virus not being able to continue to spread and put more people at risk.
What do you suggest for those people who can't quarantine themselves? For example, our first responders, our doctors, our nurses, those people that they just can't take the day off. They can't quarantine.
Yes.
What do you what type of measures do you suggest they take?
Well, the harder part is the good communication and a little bit of screening goes a long way. With that one question of, have you had a fever? And if so, then they need to have their protective gear on. And all of us in the medical field know that, but we usually haven't had to. If you came in, you know, 3 months ago, if you came into the office with the flu, I wouldn't don a gown or a mask or anything. I would see you and treat you for it. But now, if you told me and I knew that I have to examine to find out if you have to go to the hospital or not, I'm going to do that very differently with more protection.
So Brian also asked about pharmacy people. Pharmacy people, they can't take a day off either. They're obviously seeing sick people because they're coming to the pharmacy to get medicine.
Yes.
At that point, would you suggest shipping it or still allowing people to come out and pick up their pharmacy or pick up their medicine? But even then, if you ship it, well, you know, we got a really good friend, Jason Nix, who drives for UPS, and he's touching packages all day long, and he's going to people's houses and stuff. And if he's got the virus and he doesn't know it, and
he contracts it from somebody else he's delivering to,
and he could put it on the package, and the package it lay on that package. The person opened the door, take the package, and stuff like that. There's so many variables there.
Yes, yes. And sadly, yeah, it can. For that first, I think they did the study in cardboard. It'll stay on there for about 24 hours. And so, yeah, would you open the package and then wash your hands? In a perfect world, yes, you would. because the more, and washing hands is still the best. And the 3-second washing hand, no, they closer towards 20 seconds makes a lot of sense. There's something about the friction about that that can actually kill this virus better.
If and you hot water or cold water, it doesn't matter.
No, you don't have to have the scalding hot water. Scalding hot water hurts your hands. It doesn't hurt the virus.
And you don't want to do anything to, like I said, hurt your skin.
Don't hurt your skin. Yeah, be nice to your skin. But if you can't wash your hands, then the hand sanitizer, if it has over 60% alcohol, you're going to be fine.
Okay. So we don't believe that it was a bioweapon that was planted.
No, I've seen no science to support that.
We believe it's another strand of the coronavirus that just mutated.
Yes.
And became deadlier.
Yes, and we don't know exactly where it started. We know it's in China, of where the first cases were. We don't know where or how. Did this come from an animal and mutate? Was this just a new strain? We don't know. And I'm not going to try and pretend that I have that information. I don't.
Now, going back to my question about the first responders and doctors and nurses and everything, y'all are at the hospital and at doctor's office. Y'all have all the necessary equipment to kind of find out if somebody's got a fever or not. If let's say I'm a police officer and I'm responding to a call, or I'm a fireman and I'm responding to a call. And when I arrive on scene, of course, you know, when you watch live PD and cops and everything, they all put on latex gloves and stuff, but a lot of times they don't have the time to. So they, you know, they're responding to an emergency situation. I was reading somewhere where people are being, the thermometers, and I can't, they're like thermal, I guess you'd call them thermal thermometers, where you can point them at somebody.
Yes.
To determine whether or not they have a temperature. Are those an affordable type of item? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know how accurate they are. I do know that that's certainly a way. That's what makes this so difficult, is that the symptoms aren't so unique, and we have so many people that are going to be exposed or potentially exposed to this. And if you start getting first responders and policemen that are out for 2 weeks because they either couldn't be tested, or they might have been exposed, or if they did have it, and then how many other people did they expose? So you'll see where good testing really starts to shut down how this can be, how this easily this can be spread. But I think probably most of those people are going to be taking at least a little extra precautions if they weren't already there. A friend of ours is a dentist. She was asked, oh, how does this, you know, are you taking extra precautions? She's like, no, I already treat everybody as if this. So there's lots of people that already have that set up, but those of us that are don't do that as often are going to just think a little bit extra to try and be a little more careful with this.
So with everything being so undetermined still at this point, how do we know that shutting down schools and things like that? I'm going to go back to that just because I'm trying to understand it. 2 weeks. What is that 2 weeks going to give us?
40% reduction in transmission.
How do we know that? Because we don't know how to treat it, and we don't know where it generated from.
From China and South Korea.
That's
where those statistics come from. And it certainly, again, it makes sense that I've been a physician for over 25 years. I've never recommended that we shut down the schools for anything. We've been through certainly a number of infectious problems. This one's unique.
In what way?
Because it hides and looks like a lot of other things, and because it's more lethal, and because it's more spreadable. This makes SARS and MERS look like small infections.
See, that's what I'm having a hard time grasping. You say it's lethal, but yet if I were to get sick, my percentage of dying is very, very low.
Well, it's more lethal to the people that have a weakened immune system. It's how many times more lethal to those people that have a weakened immune system? More than 10 times?
I don't know. I know that it's 10 times deadlier than the flu.
I mean, I'm just still trying to wrap my head around that.
Oh, it's difficult.
It's very difficult.
I understand that.
How many people have died in the last, 6 years from the different strains of flu?
So we've had...
Millions.
No, thousands. So we had 20 million... cases of the flu this year, and we've had about, if I recall, about 20,000 deaths in the United States. And so that becomes 200,000 if it were similar, if this, if the similar number of people were infected with the coronavirus.
And that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. And that's a lot of hospital. And that's how you start to understand how that would overwhelm the hospital system, because that's the ones that died. That's not the, you know, eight that you saved, but they were all taking ICU beds and ventilator space. And so then there's a lot of things that can't and don't happen. Surgeries have to be put off because you only have so many ventilators, etc. So this, it's a terrible virus because it's sneaky in how it presents. Because we've not had any good testing.
In your medical professional opinion, is this the worst virus that you've seen?
Yes. It's the worst risk of those. There's certainly infections that can be deadlier. And again, I love the fact that I can sit here and tell you most people are going to be okay with this, but it's much worse than the flu.
As far as spreading.
No, as far as ability to kill.
It's 10 times worse. No matter how you look at it, 10 times worse is 10 times worse.
I get that. It's just...
It's something to be taken seriously. I'm going to be honest with you. Before we started this, I didn't take it serious.
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk out of this room with a different perspective. I mean...
That take any public classroom that... 100 kids, one of them's not coming home. Take your church and look around in there. If there's 200 people in your church, two people, who would die from this virus. And when you start thinking about that, you don't think about that when you think about the flu. And yes, the flu kills people, but we have some treatments, and two, it's not nearly as deadly. So that's what makes this one a real big deal. Is that it's got a killing power that we haven't seen, and it's contagious. So the only good treatment is back off. You know, in my family, we're going to be doing more Netflix and board games and stuff like that. We're not going out as much. And I'm very straightforward in saying that although we're Christians, we're not going to church tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you, this is my last question, and then we're going to get off because we've been going for an hour now.
Oh, sorry, man.
No. I mean, when you're learning and you're having fun, time flies, and I know the other guys are waiting to record. I realize you're not a stock market person and all that, but how do you think, or what do you think this is going to do to our economy? Are we looking at possibly going into another recession because people are not going to go out and they're not going to dine out. They're not going to travel. Travel and leisure is such a huge boost to this economy mm-hmm. that people, they're not going to go out and they're not going to vacation. They're not going to travel. People aren't going to go out to eat. You've got people who are going to have to take time off of work, because their kids can't go to school.
There's a ton of jobs out there, like with mine. I can't work from home.
Yes.
What do you think this is going to do to the economy?
Well, I listened. There's a podcast that I was listening to. I'm trying to get sources of information from everywhere, and so I listened to some very smart people about that, and the chances of this putting our economy into a recession is quite high. It is more likely than not that we will go into recession because of this virus.
Mm-hmm. Will it be worse than what year was it?
2007, 2008, 2009?
Yeah.
I don't think you can tell that one. And part of it depends on our response.
It's going to be worse than the one back in the, late 70s, early 80s. I read that online today.
Did you Google it? Because you can't believe everything on Google.
Yes, I Googled it.
So if it's on Google or Facebook, you automatically believe it?
Not necessarily, no. But when it comes to the economy and recessions and the plagues and the epidemics that have hit the United States since, back in the 1800s, mm-hmm. then yes. I'm going to believe it, and it's going to get bad. The economy's going to tank, and we're going to fall into a very deep recession, and it's going to take the country a long time to recover from it.
Well, the recovery is first you have to get the medical part right, and then everything else starts to come back. Mm-hmm. People want to go back to the sporting events. They want to get back. We're a social society. We like our social connectedness, but we can't do that right now. And so once you get the testing so we know who's got it, and we allow those people to be quarantined, if we have some government support so that those people can stay home and they're not trying to come back to work too quick, and if they can stay home with the kids, if they need to because the schools are closed for a couple weeks, to let this get so much less spread out, you've got the options for everything. You know, you got all the hurt done quickly as far as the economic hurt, and then we can recover quicker.
That was my last question. Les, you got any questions for him?
No, I don't.
Pleasure talking with you.
But I've enjoyed sitting here talking about it.
All the questions online, we've already answered. Your wife asked what the mortality rate of the flu versus the coronavirus. I think we already covered that.
Yeah, mortality rate for the flu is about 0.1%, and for the coronavirus is about 1%.
Well, Dr. Sick, I appreciate you coming on today, educating us on this. We're definitely, I can speak, like I said earlier, on my behalf. I'm going to take a different perspective on it. When I walk out the doors, I'm going to look at this whole thing differently. I don't know about you. We know you're a little more stubborn than I am. We've talked
stubborn.
About that.
I mean, I'm looking at it a little bit differently, but I'm not changing my perspective.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not trying to change opinions. I'm just trying to educate, and I appreciate
well, opinions
the
are like
that's what we brought you on for.
Opinions are like buttholes. Everybody's got one.
But we are going to get on your waiting list.
Yes, we are going to get on your waiting list.
Thank you.
I want to have a personal doctor, not a robot that I go see.
I'm happy to say that it's been a very good change, and Rock Hill received it well, and so I can get back to the type of medicine that I used to perform before the computers distracted the doctors.
Okay.
I like that.
Well, again, thanks for coming on. I think this is our best one so far. We'll probably have you come back at some point if you're comfortable with it, depending
Absolutely.
On how bad this gets. That's all we got for today. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, we want to thank our sponsors. Brian has one question. He must have missed the very beginning of it. Where is Dr. Sick? Where's your office?
Oh, it's over right behind Talbot's, above Sunshine Pediatrics, in that building next to LA Fitness.
But oh, over here off India Hook.
Yes, ma'am.
Or
just become...
Heck,
you're over by LA Fitness.
Yes.
But you do have a waiting list.
Yes.
So he does have a waiting list, Brian.
Yeah, it's Rock Hill Primary Care is the name of the practice.
Rock Hill Primary Care. All right, real quick, we're going to give a shout out to our sponsors once again. Thanks, Greg. Greg put the link to your doctor's office.
Oh.
He put the link on there.
Thank you, Greg.
I've heard worse from better. We also want to say thank you to Get Dirty 360 Supply. Mr. Brandon Guffey is the man. Come see him for all your lawn care needs. EA Sports Field, Tattoo Brews, Hospitality Heating and Air.
Calmer Distributing.
Calmer Distributing and Spikes Pork Skin and Nuts. And then we also have Firehouse Construction.
Or Construction.
Yeah, not Firehouse Subs. Firehouse Construction.
I'm hungry. Sorry. thinking about food.
Thank y'all for tuning in. Stay safe out there. If you've got a fever.
Stay home.
Stay home.
Stay home.
Everybody get your thermometers out. Start checking yourself.
And wash your hands.
And wash your hands. Wash
with
your hands.
Soap and water.
With soap and water,
yes.
or brake fluid. Brake fluid.
Or soap and water.
And we will try to come back to you next week. Hopefully this isn't too bad. So thanks for tuning in. Y'all have a great day.